This Uinta Golf Masters update with Brian Taylor is brought to you by Mountain Land Supply, Zions Bank, Hoops Vision, Siegfried & Jensen, and Black Desert Resort. Now, here's Real Golf Radio's Brian Taylor.
First round of the Masters is underway right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. To help break it down, one of the best out there, Brian Taylor of Real Golf Radio, kind enough to join us. BT, how are you?
Hey, BT.
Here we go, huh? Round number one. We got some brown on the greens early.
I was going to point that out. I am a landscaping and lawn nerd, and I love the Masters, and I'll be honest. I'm not happy seeing brown on those greens. That's not my Masters experience right there.
Well, the folks at Mountain Land Supply can help you with that, right, Hans? But
yeah.
here's the deal. From a golf major championship standpoint, that brown is luscious. I mean, that is delicious stuff right there, because that means that they are pushing those greens to the edge. And let's not forget, they have the best staff, agronomy, everything you could imagine right there at their disposal at Augusta National. But you start with these green surfaces. You know, when you can get them that firm and fast and they start baking out a little bit like that, man, it is. I was watching, you know, Victor Hovland had a putt for birdie, and he hit it just a little too hard. And on, I think it was on the ninth hole, got just past the hole, went and started going down that false front probably about 15 feet. And he missed the comebacker to make bogey, and it can happen just that quick. So I'll tell you what, it makes for some entertainment. It'll be fun to watch with how these guys navigate the gentle nature and the amazing touch that's required around these greens in this condition.
I feel like this is all a conspiracy to affect the beef hammer.
The beef hammer?
Yeah, the beef hammer.
Do you make up that nickname, or is that out there?
I don't know. I don't know. That's out there, right, Lloyd?
I don't know that anybody calls him that except for you.
Oh, did you?
I'm not
create
sure
that
what you're even talking about.
I thought you used that so much that was an established nickname for DeChambeau. Or did you just create that nickname?
I can't remember. I just started using it one day and fell in love with it. But, yeah, that's Bryson DeChambeau. Is that not a nickname that's out there?
You know what? Maybe I'm not out there. Maybe that's just it.
I think in the world of golf, you're 20 times more out there than I am. So if you haven't heard it, maybe it's. But is this a conspiracy to slow down DeChambeau?
Oh, I don't know. Look, at the end of the day, in order to be able to get the ball anywhere near these flags on this type of condition, you need to be able to control your spin. And so you're actually, again, it plays to the advantage of length. I mean, if you can come into these greens with shorter clubs, you know, you have more control, you know. So if a guy's coming in with a 7-iron and DeChambeau's coming in with a wedge, I mean, he should be able to control that shot more with a wedge than a 7-iron. So I don't think so. I don't think there's anything that could be said necessarily about that. Does it put more pressure on your short game than it does your ability to knock it, you know, long off the tee, perhaps. But again, there's always an advantage. If Bryson drives it well and puts himself in the fairway, then he's going to give himself a better opportunity than a guy that like Mike Weir, who doesn't hit it very far down there, and he's playing from the fairway just because he's coming in with a shorter iron. So I don't think it's a conspiracy, but it doesn't surprise me that after hosting a November Masters, where the golf course, just simply because of Mother Nature and the nature of the golf course and the agronomy there, they weren't able to get it to, quote, Masters conditions, and DJ goes out and shoots a record 20 under. It doesn't surprise me that they come back and say, hey, don't forget, this golf course is not irrelevant. This can be all you want for the best players in the world.
So Trey Wingo, formerly of ESPN, sent out a tweet last year of asking his followers to come up with a nickname for Bryson DeChambeau. And he said, other submissions I've received, Bryson DeChambeau.
That's a good one.
Bryson's been out there. Yeah, Bryson's pretty popular.
Bryson DeChambeau and the beef hammer. And that's the only reference I have on Google of Bryson DeChambeau being called the beef hammer. So
blame it on Wingo.
Yeah, there you go. But it certainly hasn't taken hold by any stretch. Obviously, you know, early scores rolling in, and we were just kind of joking during the break. It always seems like Freddie Couples always has a fun first round whenever he plays in the Masters, and then you never hear from him again, but it seems like he's starting to put something together again just for fun, for old time's sake here in the early stages.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, he makes a couple pars early on. It's, and that's what I'm interested to see. I mean, so Freddie is able to go out there and play well for a round or two, but that is a challenge physically. I've had a chance to caddy, as you guys know, and walk that in tournament play, and it's a grind. It's a walk. And so for a guy like Freddie, who's one old, but has had an old back for a long time.
Yeah.
For a guy like that, you know, it just four rounds sometimes is unsustainable. It was fun. I think it was probably 7 or 8 years ago. And, you know, he was in contention through three rounds and he was talking about it and he was emotional and he was excited, but you know, he didn't have a Sunday. It just wasn't there for him. And I think that's going to be something that is going to be interesting for Tiger. If he's ever able to come back, you know, is he going to be able to go four rounds? I think it'll be interesting to see this week with Brooks Koepka, you know, 3 weeks off a knee surgery. Will he be able to go all 4 days? Because you do find yourself in some awkward spots where you have uphill, downhill, sidehill, lies, and that type of thing, which puts pressure on the knee. So anyway, those are some stories there. But you're right. You know, when you look at the first, it's nobody ever goes out and wins the green jacket on Thursday. You just don't want to shoot yourself out of it. And
yeah.
So when you see the front of the leaderboard, it's not surprising that maybe there's some names you didn't expect to see there.
How much of a grind? Not just, I guess, maybe even just on the PGA Tour in general, but at a course like Augusta, how much of a grind is it mentally too on these guys?
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge part of it. You know, I mean, everybody that has an opportunity to play in the Masters, Xander Schauffele summed it up perfectly. He's playing, I think, in his fifth Masters, and he said, you know what, I've changed my routine. I've forced myself to get off of property before I wear myself out, because you get here, and he said, and I've also learned not to get stuck on the range. The range there, the practice area at Augusta that they created just for the Masters, it's only open that week. Members get a hit off a regular old driving range like the rest of us. But at the Masters, it's this amazing practice facility. And you could sit there, and it's like a Disneyland for a golfer, right? And he said, I've learned not to get stuck on the range, and I've learned to force myself to leave the property, because he said, I just wanted to soak it all up. I'm so excited to be there, and I want to win it so badly that by the time the weekend rolls around, I'm just exhausted. And that's as much mentally as it is physically. So you're right, Scotty. It's a big deal. And normally you've got, you know, a huge buildup to this because, you know, the last major was 7-8 months previously. And here we are, you know, a quicker turnaround to the Masters. And these guys are excited to get out there and want to win it. And it's going to be – I do think with the golf course playing this way, I do think it's going to lend itself to more experience. The guys that understand, you know, that the nuances that come from a conditions like this, they've seen it before. And so I do tend to think, if I had to pick, that I would go with someone that's played, you know, in a few Masters, not someone that's maybe in their second or third effort.
You know, BT, before any major football game, NFL, AFL, college, I had a certain mindset of the way I would take the first play and the first drive. And, you know, thoughts on hand placement, headbutts, aggression, and how I wanted to attack, especially that first play, the first two or three plays. What is the mentality of a PGA Tour player addressing the first box at the Masters? Like, is it a set standard of how you're supposed to clear your mind? Are they thinking about their grip? Like, what are they typically thinking about when they approach that first box?
You know, it's a really good question, Hans. I wish that I had experience with that I could share, like you just did, because that's cool to listen to. I can tell you just from covering these guys that they have their routines, right? And golfers, like a lot of athletes, tend to be creatures of habit. They have the ways that they go about things, and they like to be. You know, Augusta's an interesting one because you're not the players aren't isolated from the patrons. In fact, you come walking from behind the clubhouse, and you literally walk right through. They don't rope it off. Typically, the players' walking areas are roped off, but they walk right through the throng of people. Now, the throng is smaller this year, and then they walk to the practice putting green, which is directly behind the first tee. And they'll spend some time on that putting green, and then when it's their turn, they walk across, and they do kind of hold the people back. It's not roped off, but they hold them back, and they – walk to the first tee. And it's a scene unlike really any other spot, because it's the same one that all the greats have teed off on over the years. And these players grew up watching it. And so they have the same sort of chills, the same sort of feels that we as golf fans have. And they get just as geeked about the opportunity to play. And so part of that mental exercise is to block that out and focus on the task at hand and not the bigger picture of what would it mean for me to win a green jacket, or, you know, think of all the things that they've witnessed over the years at this same place. So I think most of them just go to that spot. They go right to their pre-shot routine. Once they get to the first tee, you know, they block that out and focus on, okay, you know, I have one waggle, two waggles, I look and go. I don't think there's really any other way you could do it. It'd just be too overwhelming.
Brian Taylor joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. So I know it's still early on, but who are two or three guys that you want to be paying attention to that you think certainly could get this thing done?
Well, Matsuyama's an interesting one. That, you know, a lot of people mention him sort of on the inside, you know, golf circles, but not a real popular pick. But I think he was runner-up a year ago or the last one, and there he is jumping out to 3-under par early. You know, Siwoo Kim, looking at his stats, I mean, this is uncharted territory for him. He hasn't had a top 20 at the Masters, Behezenhout or whatever. He's out of his mind. You know, we'll see what happens with him, if he's even still around. But, you know, he's in uncharted waters. Paul Casey's a good one there at 3-under par. He just eagled the 8th hole, the par 5. You know, that's a guy that are a lot of people are sort of under the radar picks for Paul Casey. But, you know, again, the big thing, I love these afternoon tee times. These afternoon tee times today are just loaded with, you know, the big names and the talent. We've got Phil and Fleetwood and Scheffler, Cantlay, Eam and Fitzpatrick, Scott, DeChambeau and Homa, Finau, JT and Oosthuizen, and then the final group, which is really kind of odd, actually, but Spieth, Cam Smith, who was also runner-up, and Morikawa. I mean, there's some powerhouse. If the winners don't come out of one of those final groups, I'd be shocked. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how they play. And the winds are going to pick up this afternoon. So it is going to be even just a little bit more difficult, that Georgia Sun baking out those already brown greens, as we talked about, and then picking up a little bit of wind. It's going to be tough. Guys need to be around par. I don't think you're going to see anyone go super low. Just stay around par and look for your opportunity. Maybe a little rain coming in tomorrow will soften things up.
Last year's champ just made the turn on 10, finished up with a par on 10, and he's about to go hit 11. And we talked to Bob Casper yesterday about that 11 being the toughest on the course. Talk about how Dustin Johnson, last year's champ, has played through the first 10 holes and what your expectations are for him through the next three rounds after this.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he's right where he needs to be. He's one over par. You know, he started off with a bogey. It's amazing how tough one can play, especially – that green is particularly difficult, and especially when it's firm. I remember it was Ernie Els. I think he five putted, if I'm not mistaken, on that green one year. I mean, that green is really, really tough, and it's a tough pin placement today. So not surprising, but he comes back and he birdies two. That's what he's supposed to do. He's long. You know, a bogey at five, again, a really difficult hole at number five, and then it's been all pars since. So a little surprised he wasn't able to take advantage of a birdie there at eight. But, yeah, at this point in time for DJ, trying not to lose anything big through Amen Corner, take advantage of 13. We've seen, you know, some numbers made at 13 and 15. As I mentioned, we already had an eagle at 15. So, he you know what, he's in a good spot. Again, only three players have ever repeated back-to-back, you know, green jackets, and that's Jack, Nick Faldo, and Tiger Woods, the last to do it in the early 2000s, almost 20 years ago. So not an easy feat, but I think DJ is in a good space. And look, one over par with what he's doing right now, if he comes in 72, 73, you know, he's in a great spot.
Brian Taylor right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. BT, you're the best, man. We appreciate it.
All right, enjoy it, guys. This is a fun weekend for sure, and always good to talk golf with you all.
Thanks, BT.
Brian Taylor right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. You know what? I'm excited just to kind of sit back and enjoy some golf this weekend.
I'm not even going to kid you right now. I thought that the Beef Hammer was like world ran out. I thought that was what everybody called him.
No, I just did a quick Google search, and that – tweet from Trey Wingo is the only thing I can find on him. And I'm with you too. But then again, you know,
has that just been you, Lloyd, and myself calling? Does Gordon and Jake call?
Yeah.
No, we all call him the Beef Hammer, don't we?
Well, I call it just because I think it's funny. So, but I was just kind of going off of your.
I like Bison, and I like D. Rambo, but I think that the Beef Hammer says everything about what Bryson is doing right now on a golf course.
Yeah.
Eating a lot and swinging hard.
Eating a lot and swinging
hard.
Hey, I
can't help but pick him. I wanted to take Justin Thomas so bad, but he is a showpiece. Bryson DeChambeau is a showpiece right now. More than I ever expected him to be. Remember when he was just that antagonistic,
oh, yeah,
annoying?
He's Happy Gilmore. That's what he is.
I think he's still that annoying and obnoxious.
Just the golf ball.
Isn't he from Boston? Isn't he like a Boston bro? Isn't he a Massachusetts bro?
I don't know.
I think he is.
I could see that.
He looks like it. He seems.
All right,
like
we are live here at Sound Sleep Medical. Call right now, 801-285-9731. Michelle's kind enough to hang out with us right now. You watch a lot of golf?
A little bit. With my dad, grew up watching Phil Mickelson. I'm a fan.
You like Phil?
I do like Phil.
Wow.
We found the one.
The one person that likes Phil Mickelson.
Oh, come on.
We found the one.
Never been a huge Tiger fan, but Phil's my guy.
All right, so let's talk about, you guys are changing lives down here.
That's exactly what we do here.
People that are dealing with sleep apnea, they don't want a CPAP machine. They feel like if you got to that point in your life where you need a CPAP machine, you know, what else do you have to really live for? But you get an oral appliance, it's not a CPAP machine, you can still get the same effects.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing about it. Most people just don't even know this is an option. Instead, they think that the best thing to do when someone's snoring is to send them to the couch.
Yeah.
To send yourself to the couch, to really just kind of live a miserable life. They don't really think that there's a solution out there other than a Darth Vader mask and all the hoses and stuff like this. But as we said, it's a tiny little device, fits in your pocket, and it really can change your life.
So what happens if you have some dental work done? And because it is such a customized fitted piece, what happens then?
Yeah, so the nice thing about these pieces is that even though they are custom fit, we do a digital scan of your mouth, so no gross goop. We can do a lot of quick edits right in our office. We have the ability to kind of file, to kind of customize further if you have dental work done. So it's usually not a problem.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. I've had one of these for a couple of years now, and I love it. And one time I had a crown came in, and Melissa just shaved it up a little bit, and boom, it was
perfect
good as new. Yeah, and
yeah,
it's awesome. And I love the fact that you guys include that and an opportunity for people to say, hey, look, you know, some things change and we'll change with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that we really pride ourselves on, is the fact that we are committed to getting you better sleep, whether that's for you or for your loved ones and stuff like that.
You're saving marriages is what you're doing.
You know, we are happy to be in that business.
Let's talk about the free sleep screening. Somebody comes in and takes advantage of that along with the free sleep consultation. You get to find out for yourself if you have sleep apnea, how bad it is, but kind of take us through that process.
Yeah, so the nice part is you call us up, we will get you one of those free at-home sleep screenings. So, yeah, as you mentioned, you don't go to a hospital, you don't go to some lab. There's no one behind a glass door kind of staring at you as you sleep. Instead, you do it right in the comfort of your own home in your own bed, and when you bring it back, we'll have those results right there for you.
801-285-9731. Change your life without a CPAP machine. It's an oral appliance courtesy of Sound Sleep Medical. Check it out right now. Just call and look. Get the free consultation, free sleep screening. Just get the information to see where you're at. 801-285-9731. That's 801-285-9731 right here on the Zone Sports Network.
Slow Mo Joe.
The Joe Ingles Show with DJ and PK.
How scary was it with that flight for you?
I don't want to say that I'm just happy to be here, but it was scary. I've played professionally since I was 17, and I've never been through something like that. For my kid's life, I, for a good few minutes there, was like, we're going down. I think everyone on the plane at some point for some amount of time was praying or whatever they were doing, hoping that we were going to stay afloat. The pilot came over eventually and kind of explained what happened, and him being as calm as he was a little bit annoying because we were all crapping our decks, but he was pretty calm and I think kind of settled everyone down. So very scary experience, and I hope it happens to no one ever again because it wasn't fun. Yeah, it definitely rattled the group a little bit.
Oh yeah. Catch Jazzman Joe Ingles with DJ and PK every Thursday morning on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
97.5, 1280 The Zone, and The Zone Sports Network. I apologize if you and Lloyd were discussing this during the break. I was working on a couple other things. Rory McIlroy's hit a ball. A ball got away from him on hole number 7. He hit a spectator. Guess who the spectator was? His dad.
Oh, Rory, no.
You better verify that. That doesn't sound real.
Well, it's from the Golf Channel.
Of all the people he hit his old man?
Yeah.
Did the Onion tweet that? If that's true, that might be one of the most random
occurrences. Oh, it's a long shot, too. Look at this.
It really popped his dad. Did it hit him on the fly?
I wonder if he gave him a golf glove.
Oh, I can't. It's just kind of a small.
Oh, he's coming out of the pines. He had to bend it. And it looks like it hit his pop right in the leg. On the fly. That is wacky and wild stuff.
What are you doing? You and Johnny Carson?
I don't know.
That was a pull.
I don't know why or where. I guess Johnny Carson's a part of the show now. I don't know. But that is crazy.
That is crazy. And wild.
He is dad. I'll be darned.
Well, I'd say dad would write him out of the will, but I think Rory's got more money than the old man. So
at least give the old man a golf ball.
Yeah, maybe
throw him a golf ball.
Maybe his old man kind of got in front of it to keep it a little bit more in play. Like, OB line's right there, and he steps in front of it and takes a.
He did take it. It would have hit the cart path if it didn't hit his dad. Maybe he's like, I'm going to save the son a stroke here.
Look, if you can't get it done, let me help you. Can't do anything on your own. All right, good, the bad, the ugly right here on the Zone Sports Network.
All right, Scott, it's a good today. I know that Shaquille O'Neal is not in the best graces with Jazz fans right now.
No, that's all right, though.
That's okay, because I will always love Shaquille. He's an entertainer, and he's a good guy. There are all kinds of rumors about the things that he does out there for people. Well, he was caught on camera doing one of those amazing things. He was in a jewelry store yesterday, or maybe it was Tuesday, and he saw just this hardworking construction guy trying to make a payment for a engagement ring, and Shaq paid the thing off. Well, here's Shaq, because it was caught on video by another guy that was in the store. Here's Shaq talking about the video that surfaced.
Look at this. Shaq randomly paid for a young man's engagement ring?
You know what happened yesterday?
When did this happen?
This happened yesterday. So I was in Zales looking for some loop earrings. And I seen the guy.
Harlan, with the blue shirt on?
Yeah.
You went to the mall and went to Zales?
Wait, what? You want me to go to Piedmont Park? You're going to Zales?
First of all, I have a jewelry line at Zales, first of all.
Oh, okay.
Ooh,
my bad.
What kind of jewelry?
Everything. So anyway, I went in there to get some loop earrings. And I seen the guy come in. He was just so shy. He was saying, hey, how much do I owe to pay off my ring? It was just, and I was like, my man, how much is the ring? And I'm not going to say the amount, but it's not enough to me. But I just, you know, and this is something that I do every day. The other day, me and my mom went furniture shopping, and this lady, she had a autistic daughter. Mm. And, you know, she was also, you know, looking to pay for some furniture. And I just took care of it. So I'm into making people happy. So whenever I leave the house, I just try to do a good deed. Like, I didn't mean for that to get out, because I don't do it for that, but... Like, the guy just came in, and, you know, he's a young kid. He's a hard-working guy. He's like, hey, man, I can come back next month. And then next, like, layaway. Like, you know, he put some money down. But I was like, you know what? Tell your girlfriend I got to take care of it. At first, he didn't want to take it. He's like, man, I can't do that. I said, don't worry about it. I do it all the time. So I'm just trying to make people smile. That's all.
Shaq said, don't worry about it. I do it all the time.
I do it all the time. Not a big deal.
I wish that I was buying a house at the same time Shaquille O'Neal was walking by the mortgage office. I got that.
Like, look, I'll bring in another payment next month and the month after. Shaq's like, don't worry about it. I got it. I do it all the time.
Who's buying a nice car or something and have Shaq walk by and be like, how much is that? And then just pay the bill.
Wait, you only got 4 condos? Let me get this other one for you. Let me get the fifth for you. I got you.
What microwave oven are you getting? Oh, no, I'm not paying for that.
I got you.
How much money would you have to be like this?
Shaq's money. And I would love to do that too, by the way. Like, I would love to have, like, if I'm, you know, if I'm Bezos or whoever, and I just have money that is just Monopoly money. Yeah. Like, it's just, it means nothing to you.
But it means the world to other people.
I would love nothing more than just hang out at a mall or something like that, or somebody's having a hard time or somebody's struggling with something, be like, you know what? I got you.
I would too, man. It would be so much fun. You could tell Shaq gets a kick out of it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And again, it means nothing to him.
It doesn't.
Like you said, he goes, I do this all the time.
It wouldn't. He's got to have hundreds of millions.
And there's a lot of subtle flexes in there from Shaq. Like, I found out how much the ring was, and I won't tell you how much it was, but it meant nothing. Like, it did nothing to me.
All right. I like how they were busting. You go to the mall to go to Zales? And he's like, I've got a jewelry line in line.
And everybody's like, oh. Because there's one thing the guys respect. They're like, hey, never impact somebody else's ability to make money.
100%.
And they're like, oh, okay. Oh. Well, then Zells it is. Let's go.
Like if somebody said, hey, I'm a sponsor of Zells, everybody would be like, oh, okay.
Well, yeah.
Let's
go. Don't give them a hard time about the general.
But yeah. you could tell they wanted to just beat him up about Zells.
Yeah. And as soon as I have a line there.
Hey, all right. Hey, I got a line in Zells. All right, man.
Okay.
Then what else was going on?
Go make that money.
Yep.
And you know what? Probably Zells he probably called back Zells. He's like, okay, look, I took care of this guy's ring, but I have a jewelry line, so I'm going to need you to cut me that check back.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that makes it so much worse.
Oh, I'm sure that one didn't happen.
Nobody's going to be paying for that ring. Zells is going to pay for that ring.
Yeah.
You know Zells, when that happened, they're like, oh, that's going to be our bill. They want credit. Zells is going to send out a tweet and say, actually, we've been reimbursed to Shaquille because we feel it our civil duty.
Oh, man. Do you do the jewelry store thing very often?
No.
I don't either. I did pick up something for my wife for Valentine's Day. And, well, that's an interesting place.
Yeah.
Like the place I went to. I'm like, okay, I saw on the website what I wanted, this color, da, da, da. And I went in, and then they're like, okay, let me go grab that for you. And then they bring back, and they had like four things, none of which I asked for, all of which like thousands of dollars more than I had, that I kind of budgeted. I'm like, no, none of that. No, get that back. Like, oh, you really wanted that. I'm like, yeah, so go back and get it. That's why... You know, our buddy down there at the
Paint Anthony.
At Paint Anthony. That's the only place you really should be going to.
I agree. That's the last place I went to for jewelry. They're incredible. They haven't advertised with us for a while, but that's where I still go. Down there, Charlie Square. They're good. And they've been there for, 40 some odd years?
Yeah.
That guy's so great.
Yeah. Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. There's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
Good, the bad, the ugly right here on the Zone Sports Network. Scary situation for Larry Nance Jr. Cleveland Cavalier forward reportedly lost nearly 20 pounds in just a week battling non-COVID-related illnesses. Starting to show signs of improvement, is on the mend. Came down with a mystery illness on March 29th while in Utah for a road game and has not played a minute of basketball since. He's been bedridden, unable to keep food down, all while getting consistently tested to make sure what he's fighting. It's not COVID-19, but they don't know what it is and what he's dealing with. But some of the details on what he's gone through has not been pretty.
I know it sounds weird, like today in modern medicine, that a professional athlete could be dealing with an illness and you can't figure it out. But that's just the case right now. There are still medical situations that go undiagnosed. When my son was just a baby, he was a year and a half or so.
Yeah.
He lost all energy and couldn't hold his head up and was sleeping too much. And we couldn't figure out what in the heck. So we took him to the hospital. They kept him in the hospital for a couple of days, ran all of these tests, and he was losing energy and losing weight.
Wow.
And we're thinking, what's going on? And we're asking the doctors. They're like, we don't know. We have no clue what is going on. And Amanda and I are looking at each other like, how bad is this going to get for our little boy? And then a day later, snaps out of it, starts eating, energy comes back. It was like, just flip the switch, and he was fine. But sometimes these medical situations hit, and we don't have all the answers in the medical field or medical world yet. And it not being COVID-19 is probably a big surprise to a lot of people, but I hope that Larry Nance can figure this thing out. Hopefully it doesn't impact his ability to play the game.
I mean, it does seem like he's kind of heading in the right direction, but still not completely out of the woods as of yet. But, geez, I mean, scary situation. And the thing is, anybody gets sick these days, and it's immediately like COVID. It's got to be COVID. It's got to be COVID. And so much of our mind is so centered on that right now, and rightfully so. But there's still a lot of other things out there that can create a lot of problems, and apparently he's going through that.
Yep.
All right, there's your bad. Let's get to the ugly.
And, of course, the ugly.
Well, you can't turn on a news channel right now, Scotty, without seeing this situation that's going on in South Carolina. And for those of you that haven't heard, there were 5 people killed yesterday, including 2 children in a South Carolina home. And as things start to develop, Scotty, they've found now a 6th person dead. That happens to be Philip Adams, who is a former NFL player. And he was a 7th-round pick back in 2010. He stormed a home in Rock Hill, South Carolina, yesterday afternoon, shot 5 people to death. The victims are identified as 74-year-old Dr. Robert Leslie, 69-year-old wife Barbara Leslie, and their grandchildren, 9-year-old Ada Leslie and 5-year-old Noah Leslie. The 5th victim was a 38-year-old man. His name's James Lewis. He was working on the home when Philip Adams came in and started shooting, and obviously what he was killed as well. And then, of course, the 6th person that is dead is Adam Phillips, who took his own life by gunshot. But this is a guy that went through the Patriots organization, came through the Oakland Raiders organization for a time, and as I mentioned, was a 7th-round pick back in 2010. His NFL career ended in 2013, and details are still starting to form in this. I mean, this is fresh. This just happened yesterday morning, early morning. So the details are still forming in this, but they do assume that it was this former NFL player that took the lives of these 5 other people. Tragic, crazy event that is continuing to develop.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. We'll keep you updated on the Masters, what's going on there, coming up a little bit later on in the program. We'll also chat with Kurt Heelan for our weekly conversation with him. Also coming up next, it's another edition of Whole World News. It's all straight ahead right here on the Zone Sports Network.
The Big Show. The Big Show with Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
When you're as high as Zach Wilson is in this draft, I think a team has contacted him. They might be lying to him, but I would be pretty surprised if he didn't have a pretty good idea where he was going to end up going. Now, these things can change.
It's different at 2, though, Gordon, because you've heard the stories in the past of guys who get picked later in the draft. Hey, Denver called me, and they said they're going to pick me. Because stuff happens. You never know. But with the number 2 pick, like, we're going to take you at number 2, unless you go 1, I guess, and then we'll deal with it. But when you're picking number 2, that's a little different than if you're around in the 7th, you're going to be a Tennessee Titan.
Right, exactly.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7. Presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
It is time for another edition of Whole World News right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Of course, Matt's got to sit down right when we get loose with Whole World News.
Oh, man. Every time he sits down, it's like, we want to try to look respectable in front of clients.
Spent 2 hours giving great hot sports takes, and and really breaking down Jazz basketball.
Now he's going to sit
down. And then
down.
The boss man sits down, and we're going to get crazy with some weird story.
He's going to hear the story of Bill Huang.
Please tell me the story of.
Okay, have you ever heard the name Bill Huang?
I have not.
Yeah, no, nor has anybody. But he just became the wealthiest to poorest individual in the history of this country. He lost $20 billion in the matter of a couple of hours.
Wow.
$20 billion. And this Bill Huang, and I would encourage people, if you really want to read up on this story, I spent way too much time reading about Mr. Huang. But it's detailed. It goes on for quite a few years, Scotty. This man built himself into a multimillionaire. He took $200 million that was left over from a shuttered hedge fund, turned it into basically $20 billion. And then he leveraged all of these banks and all of these investors and got himself to a $100 billion capital management company called Archegos Capital Management. And just in late March, just this year, this is the quote, "No individual has lost so much money so quickly in the history of America." At its peak, Huang's wealth eclipsed $30 billion, and it is gone. It's all gone. And by the way, I want people to understand that, you know, sometimes you get these billionaires, all of their money's locked into professional leagues, you know, an owner of the Golden State Warriors or the Utah Jazz. Their money's locked into real estate companies, or this was $30 billion liquid cash that this guy had.
Jeez.
That in just a couple of hours and a couple of bad decisions is all gone. Investors started pulling the money and the stocks and areas that he was going into started to crash, and within minutes it was all gone. So, and you know, the crazy thing is, guys like Bill Huang, these guys that truly understand the markets and money manipulation, he'll probably rebuild a fortune.
Oh yeah.
But the story is, this man lost $20 billion in just a matter of a short period of time. Billion. It's just crazy to me. Like, here I am, like, thinking, man, if I could just get an extra.
Maybe take five of that billion and just kind of, like, I'm gonna buy a really big couch and just kind of put it in the cushions. I'm just going to keep it right there. And then the other 195 billion, then let's get loose with that.
Oh, dude, that's like us at a casino. It's like, oh, I've got $85. So I'm going to put 12 of that in for a taco later.
Yeah.
And, you know, an emergency.
You, my little friends, are my buffet. You're going to stay right there, and then let's have fun with the rest of it.
Yeah, exactly. So you're just saying $5 billion. Just $5
billion. Just $5
billion. In case something bad happens. There's a good likelihood Bill Huang has $5 billion buried somewhere.
Yeah.
A guy that at one point was worth $30 billion. If he really did lose everything, well...
Sell the Hamptons home. You'll be all right.
He's a young fella, too.
You know, it's like that story that we were talking about, the dude that had when Bitcoin really – well, Bitcoin's still kind of blowing up. But when it reached its height and it was at $60,000 a share, and he's like, oh, wait a minute. I got paid for that job with 7,000 Bitcoins. So he goes back, but he can't access the – he forgot what the password was. It's now worth $200 million. And finally, it gets to the point where, and if you have so many missed passwords that it'll lock you out and your money's just gone.
Gone.
And so he got to the point where he just didn't know it and the money's gone. But later found out that the guy's like a billionaire. So, I mean, but 200.
Are you serious?
Yeah, but 200 million, still 200 million. But he's like, oh, I'm okay. I've got money.
Otherwise, I don't know how you would let that
I don't know how you could just make it through something like that.
Yeah, I always wondered about that guy, like how he was holding up mentally. But if he's already got a fortune, then I guess it doesn't really matter. But I do remember reporting on that story
Yeah.
and reading that story, and it was legit. he had a certain amount of opportunities to enter in a password, and he had entered four of the five, and he had that fifth, and he finally just let it expire.
Yeah.
And let the money go. It's ridiculous. Man, I wish I had like 8 Bitcoin right now. Just 10. 10
Bitcoin. Give me 10 of them. I'll be happy.
That's it.
Problem is, you go back 10 years. I mean, if you could hop in the DeLorean and go 88 miles an hour, you could buy 1,000 Bitcoin for, you know, 70 cents a coin.
Yeah, if you'd have put 2,000 in on Bitcoin 10 years ago, you'd have over a billion. $2,000 in 10 years ago, yeah. You'd have over a billion. Why didn't we see it coming, Scotty? Why did we ignore the signs?
They were there for us.
And, you know, I'm so technologically advanced.
Oh, I know.
And I understood these things.
Oh, I know. Me, you and me both, yes.
Well, I'm in late now. I'm making over 5 cents a day on it now.
Yeah. So yeah, I own.
Cash me outside.
I own like 0.0002 shares of Bitcoin. But I'm in it now.
It's dumb. I don't even know what I'm doing now.
All right, we are live here at Sound Sleep Medical, and I tell you what, we've got so many opportunities for people to change their lives. And you literally, you don't know really how poorly you're sleeping until you actually get a good night's sleep.
You do, actually. You know how poorly you're sleeping. You just don't know how good it can be.
Exactly. That's the thing. Like, when I got mine, you know, you're like, okay, I'm used to waking up with a headache, or I'm used to, you know, dealing with this stuff. And then all of a sudden you wake up, and you're like,
Feels good.
That's what it's like to wake up feeling like how I should be feeling in the morning.
Hey, you think, oh, you know, I guess I'm not in my 20s, so gasping for air at night
is a
normal thing, or snoring is just part of life, you know, because my dad snored, so I'm going to snore and whatever else, and so you just kind of accept it. But the reality is, like yourself and myself, it doesn't need to be that way. You know, you can wake up and feel refreshed. You can wake up and have the energy to go throughout the day and not be cranky. And, you know, I don't know if you did this too, Scotty. I went through everything. I bought new pillows. I bought new mattresses. I, you know, tried different beds.
Yep.
I tried blankets and blah, blah, blah. Everything, propping myself up differently. And none of that worked. And, you know, I hear about Sound Sleep Medical, and I show up and in a couple, you know, the custom appliance, quick meeting, and 3 weeks later, all of a sudden,
So you have one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know this is radio, and this doesn't, you know, so I'm going to have to paint the picture here. But you do not fit the mold of what the stereotypical sleep apnea user would look like. I mean, you're svelte. You know, I'm sure you're in great shape. People wouldn't look at you and say, that's a guy suffering from sleep apnea. And it affects everybody, you know, all sizes, all genders, you know, all ages. It hits everybody.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people think it's a male-dominant thing because of these big guys and whatever else. And you know, we get just as many females coming in here as we get males. And the reality is, like you said, you don't know how good it can be until you try. And so they have a 30-day money-back guarantee. Come in, try it for 30 days. If you're unhappy still, which you won't be, you can return it. No, you know, money-back guarantee. And so there's really nothing to keep you from trying it. They're doing good things like, you know, free sleep screenings now. I didn't get a free sleep screening, but you can get that free sleep screening, a free sleep consultation for the first 50 callers. And then you can go to any of their locations. I've been using it for 2 years, and it's changed my life. My wife enjoys being in the same room at night with me, where before she hated it. You know, we're about to that point where, and I've had some friends have to do this. You got two rooms.
Separate rooms, yeah.
And I'm glad we never had to get to that because of Sound Sleep and because of this oral appliance.
801-285-9731. Make that phone call right now. 801-285-9731. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.